Hey, guys. Oh, hey, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Probably Sounds Awful podcast, episode 31. We are not live this week on Ustream or soon-to-be YouTube because Josh and I are sitting in our pajamas.
Buck naked because we sleep naked.
Buck naked. Josh?
What?
Can you say for sure that you've never seen my erect penis? I was asked this question last week.
Who asked you that?
A young lady asked me this question.
On the street?
No, there's someone that knows us that knows that we are roommates and like best friends.
Have I ever seen your erect weenie?
I have seen.
No. I've seen your flaccid dangle several times.
So that's the thing, is I just want to make sure everyone knows that as close as friends we are, I think it does cross the line if Josh ever saw my erect penis. And I even said that to him. No, that would cross even a joking line. It's not even no longer funny. Even if like you were like playing around with like your like flaccid weenie and you like thought it'd be funny to start getting erect, I'd immediately have to leave the room. Also, what are you doing? All right, guys.
Committing to the bit, you know?
I'm one of your hosts, Leo Albert Kovalik Jr. You can find me on Twitter at Kovalik317 or Twitch, twitch.tv/Kovalik317. I'll stream when you guys want.
Hey, you watch, I'll stream. I think that's how that works.
Yeah.
If I get a notification that people are just on my Twitch channel just waiting around, I'll start streaming.
Now, I don't know. Just, you know, when you're on Twitch, you see you have zero viewers, you know, you kind of want to stop.
Yeah, yeah. And I am another host. I'm Josh Patton. I'm on Twitter at Patton_Josh. And I'm on Twitch at twitch.tv/primordialbooze.
So those are the two hosts that we have this week. Our third host is somewhere in NOLA, but he also had a picture of Portland today. Brian Colbert Kennedy is out.
That dude travels all over.
Travels all over the world, but that's great. That's how you should spend your money. We have a friend back from Chicago named Billy who literally travels the world with like every dime he has.
Yeah.
And that's a fantastic. You know, my sister did that too. And I don't think she would mind me saying that she went after her first and like second job, she cleared out her 401k from that place, took the penalty, and then traveled the world with all that money.
Oh, I thought you were saying she also traveled the world on Billy's dime.
No. That would be nice. So we're gonna do a little thing here. We don't actually know where Brian is, so we're gonna call him. While Josh is setting up the phone call, I just want to throw this out there. This episode is going to be very spoilery for Marvel's Civil War, the latest movie. I don't know if you're hashtag Team Cap or hashtag Team Iron Man, but if you are hashtag I hate spoilers, then you should definitely not listen to this episode yet.
Until you've seen it. Go watch the movie pronto, then come back and listen.
Yeah, so that'd be great because we're gonna dive deep into spoilers. Josh and I have both seen it twice.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen it a third time. We've both seen it twice. We've seen it a pretty interesting way that we're definitely going to get into, but definitely give it some time. Go see the movie. I'd highly recommend it, but beyond that, we're going to dial deep into why we think it's highly recommended. So, Josh, are you queuing up old Brian?
Yeah, I'm ready whenever. I got him on the old speed dial.
So, do you type in Brian or do you type in 312?
I don't type in
320. Am I close? Am I close so far?
I have no idea. I can look at the contact.
Does it not show it right underneath it?
No.
Okay,
I click on now I'm looking at it. So, okay, you are right so far.
312-320.
Yeah.
Will you tell me if I'm right or not?
Boom, zam, zip, redacted for accuracy.
Is that right? So should I just probably chop that out?
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, just a heads up, I did name the correct number, so I chopped out that last bit. Sorry, you do not get to hear
Brian's full number.
Brian's full number. But let's give him a call. Let's see what he's up to.
Let's see if he answers. Where is NOLA? What is NOLA?
Northern Louisiana.
Is it? I know
yeah,
know
so
that.
Like NOLA is.
I saw he was like hashtagging that. I was like, I thought he was in Louisiana, but I never heard NOLA.
This is totally going to go to voicemail. Come on, Brian.
Brian, answer on your vacation. Yeah, I never heard NOLA used as an abbreviation for anything.
Thanks for calling me.
Okay,
I like
so go ahead
phone
and call. Go ahead and
this
end
is
that
Brian
call.
Colbert Kennedy, but I can't pick up right now. So leave me a voicemail message, and I'll call you back some other time.
So that was Brian's hilarious
At
message.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Brian. We're doing my golden episode of the podcast. Wanted to see if you could be on it, but I guess not. So can you still buy me a birthday present? Okay, bye.
So let's go ahead and do something that I absolutely hate is when the exact same person calls you right back.
Oh, okay.
Then the only reason I really hate it is because it feels like, oh God, is this an emergency?
Oh, so they have to answer.
Yeah. So it's almost like the first time you could have been screening your phone call, but now it's like, oh my God, Josh is calling me twice. Is he okay? Is Leo okay?
Must be a tragedy.
Yeah. It's probably mostly like, God, what happened to Leo? That's probably what's going on.
If he answers now, you know you're just ignoring my first one. Maybe he's having a romantic outing.
There's a lot of boys in...
I know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to leave a voicemail this time if he doesn't answer.
No.
Wow, Brian.
Hey, thanks for calling.
All right, guys. Well, that was our attempt to have another host. If he does call later, we'll answer it.
Maybe.
No matter where we'll are in conversation. Yeah. To have one of our other hosts, Brian, be on the podcast. Again, you can find him... some dumb website. I think it's www.imbck.com.
That's true.
Or you could see his fine, hilarious, crafty work at www.leoalbertcolvinjr.com and www.joshpatton.com. All right. Well, Josh, let's get into it. We said we're going to talk about Civil War. We're also going to preview Uncharted 4.
Yeah, we'll be discussing our initial thoughts for playing that a little bit last night.
That's not going to be spoilery because we really haven't even seen anything too spoilery. But we will be touching on that. It did come out just yesterday.
Yeah, we won't be discussing story. We'll just be discussing everything else about the game.
Yeah. So let's jump into our first topic today is going to be, again, very spoilery. Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. Just hit pause. Stop listening to this. Stand up, maybe. No matter where you are. If you're driving your car, stand up in your car. You could be... you know, teaching children, you should, you know, if you're reading them a book, stand up.
Stand up.
And reading the book while standing up, it's totally fine. I'm just, you know, maybe like don't be listening to this with an earbud in while you're also teaching kids.
Reading the children?
If you, maybe you're a dictator and you listen to us maybe somewhere in like Brazil.
Maybe you're on the electric chair. Stand up. Get off that thing.
Stand up. Get off the electric chair. Maybe you're hunkered in some bunker because you think that there's, you know, the doomsday is coming and maybe it's coming tomorrow. Maybe you're planning it to happen tomorrow. Stand up.
Maybe you're in the trenches. World War II. People are shooting over your head. Stand up.
Stand up. Stand up, time traveler. Stand up. Definitely just stop listening now. Stand up. Get out of here. Walk away. Yeah, walk away. No matter what you're doing. If you're driving, literally stand up while driving and get out of your car.
Yeah.
See what happens. Josh, let's talk Civil War.
Captain America, Civil War.
So let's talk our first time seeing it, obviously.
Mm-hmm. I discussed this last episode. This was pretty much the first main Marvel movie that I did not see opening night. You were wandering around.
I was wandering.
So we saw this opening day on Friday at our local movie theater, The Vista.
Yeah, give them some props, man. The Vista in Los Feliz, if you're in California, not only go to The Vista, go see a movie. Fantastic. If you see a superhero movie, like on opening weekend, you'll see the manager dressed as a superhero.
Yep.
You'll also probably see Josh and I walking into the theater and leaving also dressed as superheroes or just heroes in general. And stop by. If you don't get to go to The Vista, but you want to come to our apartment, you know where it is. If you're a true fan, we've said our address multiple times.
Yeah, over different podcasts, piece it all together.
So go ahead, Josh.
So this, oh man, Civil War is easily in my top three, if not top two or top one MCU movies.
Yeah, I'm comfortably ranking it underneath Avengers.
Yeah, like some of the other movies, like all of the movies pretty much right after seeing, for the most part, I'm like so stoked and like am like almost like overload of like things I just saw and like the movie was amazing, and then as time goes by it kind of settles in a little bit and I kind of say, okay, this part wasn't so great, or this story element was like it wasn't the best, but I still liked the movie. This movie, still, that has not happened yet. I'm still like, this movie's the best!
So, you did also just see it yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Again.
But there's this 20-minute scene in Leipzig, the airport, when it all starts coming together that, up until that point, there are a couple things with the movie that I was not bored with, but I was just like, okay, alright, what is going on with this villain? I didn't thoroughly enjoy the villain, even the second time. Baron Zemo, and I did look it up. I thought Baron Zemo was the guy's name. You're right. It is the original Baron Zemo, but Baron is his title in the comics. Does not put on the purple mask that we all know and love.
Or the entire purple outfit.
The entire purple outfit. I'm hoping for some sort of Easter egg, because he's not dead. Spoiler alert at the end of the movie. It was a great plan, and I enjoyed it, but during my first view. Is that Brian calling?
Brian's calling.
Okay, let's get in. Let's get in here, ladies and gentlemen. We'll keep talking, but Brian is calling.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, is this Brian?
Hello, this is Brian Colbert Kennedy. I'm looking for a Joshua Patton.
You got him.
Hi. I'm calling because a couple of days ago we agreed that you would be paying me $1,000, and I've yet to receive my payment.
Oh, sorry, you got wrong number now.
Oh. Well, then that is my bad, and I apologize.
Yeah, you had the right number, but then it became the wrong number.
And then it changed. Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, common mistake happens all the time.
Have you been drinking?
No.
You said no, but it didn't sound like you meant no.
It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
I don't know what time it is where you are. Are you having sex currently?
I'm currently having sexual intercourse.
Whoa. I mean, I guess that explains kind of why you ignored my call at first, because you were doing it.
Yeah, but then, when did you call? How many minutes ago?
Less than five.
Oh, yeah. So I had just started, but then I decided to stop and then call you back.
Who do I hear in the background?
You may know him. His name is Chad Hall.
Oh, was that your lover partner?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, congrats, you guys.
Congrats. Thank you. We're official in Portland.
What'd he say?
What are you guys doing over there?
Oh, are you still voting for Hillary?
What do you mean still?
I mean, you will not stop posting on Facebook about how much you're with her.
Oh my God.
You're always like,
who are you?
Hashtag feel the hill.
No, I don't ever feel the hill. I'm over the hill.
Oh man, old man. Old man Brian.
Are you guys recording podcasts right now, or are you finished?
I mean, no, you dumb racist.
Okay, that's not funny, because I love all races.
Brian, can you hear me in the background now?
I just am now hearing you. Hello, Leo.
That's crazy. I have not been laughing or telling Josh what to try to say.
we're very happy to hear your voice.
We are currently recording podcast episode 31, Brian. You are now on it, so you can say you've been on every single one.
Oh, that's great. And Chad's technically on it now, too. That's only like our third guest ever.
Yeah, yep. Chad is guest number three.
How's Brian, where are you right now? We're curious.
Chad and I are in Portland, Oregon.
That sounds far from Louisiana.
Yes, it does.
I came back from Louisiana, and now I'm in Oregon.
What are you filming? What are you doing?
What?
He said, what are you filming? What are you doing?
Oh, no, not a ton of filming. A little bit of filming here and there, but mostly just drinking and eating and walking and cooking.
Tell him he interrupted our talk on Civil War.
Where should we go?
Brian, don't start talking to Chad. you're on the podcast.
Sorry, yeah, I'm having a whole separate side conversation with Chad.
Definitely don't do that. Podcasting 101.
What were you guys talking about just now before I called?
We were just in the beginning of discussing our thoughts on Civil War.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, the movie Civil War.
Oh, man. Oh, this is a bad time for me to be talking to you then, since I haven't seen it yet.
We're going
to
spoil it for you right now.
No, please don't do it. I want to see it.
Three favorite moments.
Yeah, Brian, what were your top three favorite moments from Captain America Civil War?
I loved when Captain America kissed Nighthawk.
Who the fuck is Nighthawk?
I loved when the building exploded downtown. That one building exploded downtown. It was so much action.
Cool. A lot of loss. So Brian doesn't care about human loss.
Oh, I don't care about human loss at all. Kill them all, man. And my absolute favorite point in the whole film was the hilarious and unexpected post-credit scene that, you know, is going to just go down in history as one of the best.
True.
Yeah. So I guess those are my favorites.
All right, well, it sounds like you've watched the movie a bunch of times on your vacation.
Yeah, I just keep watching it instead of enjoying the places I've been.
tell him to ask him to introduce himself like he's on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, introduce yourself like you're on the podcast.
All right. Hey, everybody. This is Brian Colbert Kennedy. I am talking to you live from Portland, Oregon. I'm here with my good friend Chad, and sorry to be missing the episode this week, but just follow my antics on Twitter at _BPTK.
Stop taking selfies.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Brian Colbert Kennedy, who doesn't get his time in the sun after that. So let's jump back to where we were, Josh. Where were we? Civil War.
Yeah, well, you were, I think, briefly discussing what we weren't as thrilled with the movie, which is the villain's plotline.
But when I said what would happen is at the end of the movie, his whole plot is one of the coolest in the Marvel Universe. Because it's not, hey, I'm going to use a staff to take over the world. Hey, I'm going to open this hole in space and take over the world. Hey, I'm not going to do this and take over the world. It was much more personal, and his thing was to destroy the Avengers. And instead of using force, he uses, like, intellect.
And he almost, and still kind of succeeded.
Well, in the very end, you see him sitting there talking to, I almost said Morgan Freeman.
Martin Freeman.
Martin Freeman's character, who is a political kind of douchebag in the movies and in the comics as well. Who kind of specializes? I think he's like the
something of CIA
emissary, yeah, in the CIA, but mainly the towards Wakanda
Joint Terrorism Task Force.
Yeah, and but he's talking to him, and he says, you know, how awful does it feel that you failed? And he goes, did I?
Yeah, did I?
And that's kind of where the movie left off. But so again, super spoilers if you listen to this dummy. But that was just one of minor thing, but that even got wiped away seeing it the second time because I now knew throughout the entire movie what he was building up to.
Yeah, I would say as a villain, like, you know, as far as villains go, not the most interesting. You know, he kind of just like a regular dude. Yeah, they kind of briefly mentioned that he was in like Sokovian, like, you know, killer elite group or whatever, but we didn't see any of that kind of stuff. He was more just like a family man who his family got wiped out, and so he, you know, he even says like more powerful than me have tried to defeat the Avengers. So he's like, I'm not going to use those strategies. I'm just going to do what I can to make the Empire fall from within.
Yeah, and it was cool that he's not dead. He didn't, you know, at the end he didn't get to shoot himself because Black Panther did one of the coolest things ever and used his vibranium suit to, you know, stop the bullet.
Which is also cool because his father, King T'Chaka, at the beginning was talking about how, like, you know, you're such a good warrior, but I know how much you do not like diplomacy and stuff like that. And then he ended up saving the day with being diplomatic and not letting vengeance consume him. So he kind of, like, he's fulfilling. Now he's, you know, we saw him as a warrior throughout the whole thing, but now he's going to be a warrior and king. And then he uses some king like strategies at the end to not be consumed by vengeance.
Put the claws away. There's that one cool scene in the SWAT van as, you know, Captain America, Sam Wilson, Falcon, and Black Panther are riding to the CIA point. And he's, you know, he's like, oh, so you like cats? You dress like a cat?
Yeah.
And then he was like, you know, Captain America was like, he's my friend, he, you know, whatever. I'm going to protect him. He's like, I'm king and warrior now.
Yeah.
You know, how long do you think you can protect him? I was like, damn, that was so cool.
I can stop me from killing that fool.
I definitely, so the second time viewing it, it kind of wiped away a lot of those villain things. I'm just glad he's still alive so that we get to possibly see him maybe become more theatrical like a villain or kind of stew in that prison cell that he's in right now. That really gets him like time to think about what's going on and what the next iteration
come up with a new strategy.
Yeah, and maybe this time he will be more villainous, have like a persona, and take the Baron Zemo like mask and
grab a sword.
Yeah, just some cool stuff like that.
But the movie overall, I am still just extremely stoked. I thought it was so well done. So many awesome, huge moments that throughout all, even with all the Marvel movies that have come out, there are still things that we have not seen yet on screen, mostly different types of team-ups and obviously heroes fighting heroes, but so many cool things like friggin' Spider-Man.
Yeah, so Spider-Man, obviously in this movie, the whole 20-minute Leipzig, I was saying, like, scene that's in the trailers, it's everything you want it to be and more, and I think that has a lot to do with Spider-Man, so go ahead, Josh. What would you like about Spider-Man in this one?
Obviously, he's much younger. He's the youngest Spider-Man we've seen on screen, and that fits really well with most Spider-Man comics. He is like a high school student, and he is in this movie. You know, he almost said, you know, he was saying he couldn't go to this big old superhero battle because he's got homework. And he is very funny, but in a different type of funny. The previous movies, I feel like he was funny and making like snarky jokes to the villains and stuff like that, but this he wasn't really making like snarky, like sarcastic stuff. It was more just excitable, like he was just like couldn't believe he was meeting all these heroes as he's fighting them, so he's just like wow and like talking too much. And that was one of the, you know, greatest lines when Falcon's like, I don't know if you've ever been in a fight before, he's usually not this much talking. He's like, oh sorry, like he's not even like trying to be funny, he's just like, oh my god, this is so awesome. Yeah. Oh, you got a metal arm, that's awesome dude, like as he's like fighting someone with a metal arm. And so his energy was so different than anything we'd seen, and it just really came across on screen. And he just looked and was awesome.
I read in some review-ish slash video that I was watching or heard some of the video that during the movie, it started to get like pretty heavy and pretty intense. So by the time you do see Queens pop up on the screen, it's like, oh man. And the movie just, that's, you know, about 10 minutes, 15 minutes before the whole big team up scene. Mm-hmm. So it actually does kind of like add some levity to the movie and comedy and things like that. The moment that it needed it, like, cause it was getting really heavy, and Winter Soldier, you know, was just captured. Then he got released and Captain America used his super buff muscles to save that helicopter.
Super buffs.
But also I'm really glad they did something with Spider-Man. Or I guess didn't. The original costume that was kind of going around and people were like tweeting about.
And, oh, it was like the hoodie and
stuff? Yeah, it was like the hoodie and, you know, like the knee pads and the goggles. I was like, oh man, is this like a costume that he's going to wear and we're going to see him like physically in it at some point, or maybe that's what he's going to fight in? But I, to then see that it was barely visible YouTube footage of it and you know, Tony Stark was just holding it.
Yeah.
In his hand was super cool. It's like, okay, cool. We're never going to see that costume again, mm-hmm. unless it's in some flashback in the actual Spider-Man movie. It's like, we'll never see that costume again. That was actually just for like YouTube footage.
Yeah.
That was coming off of Tony Stark's phone, basically, mm-hmm. when he was like, I know you're Spider-Man. I would love to know how he personally knew he was Spider-Man. I'm guessing he's Tony Stark. He probably has some like
tracking
or second layer of like who you can see underneath your clothes, which is creepy, but like mm-hmm. he just won't tell you,
or just, you know, whatever camera system he had, like, you know, filming that stuff, or you know, sure, yeah, you just follow him, see where he goes, see, eventually swings home.
Yeah, because that is, I guess, also in New York where he's active, and that's where Avengers Mansion is, or tower.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm glad they didn't use that costume. The costume that they did end up using was made by Stark, and they said that more clearly the second time I heard it. So it's made by Stark, all Stark tech, and that shows in the actual, as Brian was saying, the end credit tag scene.
Sure.
But yeah, so Spider-Man's second costume looked fantastic. I love the eyes. It made sense that Stark tech, the whole logo on the back. It did look a little bit CGI for me.
I was watching my friend Hector Navarro. He does superhero news, and they were discussing that, you know, Their prediction was, and you know, the next actual Spider-Man movie, there won't be as near as much CG. And the reason why this was so much CG was so that they could take it out of the trailers. Because we saw a lot of that airport footage, like, you know, both the two different teams running at each other before they had the Spider-Man spot. And they needed to take that Spider-Man out so that you weren't seeing him during the iconic shot of both teams running at each other. So a lot of those times they had to do it CG just so they could take it out for the promo stuff, because they didn't want to show too much of Spider-Man. But now that we've seen him, all the other movies should be practical, because we're not trying to hide it anymore.
Yeah,
I thought that was a pretty good point.
That's a good point. Definitely never thought about that. But you also, that shouldn't be an excuse of why it looks like that. Just don't show that shot in the trailer. Is another easy way around that, too.
Kind of. I mean, he's in so many of the shots of the... There's only one scene where all of heroes are fighting each other.
For
and
sure.
He's in so much of that.
Yeah.
Which is awesome, because you wouldn't think he would be, because... You saw all those stuff in the trailer, like, oh yeah. Man, there's no Spider-Man in that. Everyone thought Spider-Man was going to be in this movie for like 5 minutes.
And they did a real good job of, speaking of only being in 5 minutes, they did a real good job. He was probably in it for like 20 minutes. But they did a good job of like, where has he been in the MCU? Like, it's been only six months he's been Spider-Man. The original Avengers movie, they keep saying years in this, has taken place, it sounds like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, or four, I think it's 4 years ago. I think it's almost like 4 years real time, because they say Sokovia was like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So they do a real good job. He's only been Spider-Man for 6 months. So yeah, he hasn't been around. No, that's why he wasn't in the Avengers, or didn't
help out with anything.
Swoop in to help the Avengers.
Didn't even have powers. And plus, that's not his MO anyway. When Tony's like, why do you do this? You know, he's just trying to look. He's just looking out for the little guy.
Yeah.
So if Tony had not recruited him for this battle, he would not just voluntarily jump into any of these big events. Like, if there was another, like, world-threatening thing, you know, it probably wouldn't... He's like, oh, the Avengers got this. Like, I'm just here to stop, you know, people on the street from getting mugged. Like, that's kind of like all he was... Like, stop bank robberies. Like, things that the Avengers aren't really messing with. Captain America's not jumping in on day-to-day crimes.
Like Daredevil or Punisher.
Right? Yeah, Spider-Man, and, you know, had Tony Stark not shown up in his apartment, yeah, Spider-Man would be more of on the level of the Marvel Netflix heroes. They're just dealing with their own city and trying to keep that safe. So, you know... Daredevil's in Hell's Kitchen, and, you know, Spider-Man is in Queens. You know, he would just be dealing with Queens problems.
Yeah, and it's cool to see him also be a teenager, and during the end of the battle, he was completely beat because it's probably his first big
thing
he's ever done. It, even though it's as powerful as Spider-Man is, you know, actually stopping and moving Winter Soldier's arm, which nobody else did in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think one other person did it, but it was more of like a cool move instead of actually like stopping it. It was Black Panther.
Yeah, he was trying to do like a nerve strike on it, and he like had him like what would have like broken an arm or done like a nerve strike, and he's like trying to do it, like there's no effect, and then Winter Soldier just kind of like throws him off.
Yep.
But this guy, he just like Spider-Man, one hand just catches it, and it's like not even like twisting it to like hurt him, it's like twisting it to look at it. Oh, like, yep. From this angle, oh cool, it is really metal, that's awesome.
So almost like, even Captain America gets hit by it and tries to stop it at one point.
Yeah.
And then instead of, you know, Captain America stopping it, he gets thrown through an elevator shaft.
Yeah.
And thrown down the elevator. You know, Spider-Man was literally grabbing it and moving it. Like, so they did a really good job of showing his powers and how, you know, he is more powerful than Captain America even.
Yeah, he is. And then, technically, yeah, he is stronger. And I thought it was cool that, you know, he does have more strength than Captain America, but Captain America's combat experience and fighting technique was clearly more superior. Like the scene where Spider-Man is webbing him from behind, he's got each hand and like Captain America's trying to like pull forward and Spider-Man's just pulling back. Captain America knows to just spin around and do like this flip spinning kick, and that just completely threw Spider-Man off balance. Yep. And he actually, you know, Captain America came out on top during that battle.
Yeah, and it wasn't like any of Spider-Man's, you know, basically choice himself to be like, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to, you know, I know to go for Captain America's legs. No, Tony Stark gave him probably like all the intel on everyone he's going to be fighting.
Yeah, he told
him. Which was, I think, only Captain America.
Yes.
Yeah. Tony didn't think Hawkeye would be there.
Yeah, they were all surprises.
Yeah.
But yeah, he said like, oh, Mr. Stark said you would say that. And he's like, you know, he told me to, you know, go for the legs.
Yeah.
So pretty cool.
Very cool.
I also like that they're kind of addressing some of the less realistic aspects of Captain America. Like everyone always says, why don't you just shoot him in the legs? Because like, you know, he's got a shield. He's just covering everything. Everyone, you know, people like, you know, real, you know, not in the comics, but people over the years are like, why doesn't anyone shoot Captain America in the legs?
Right.
And he's like, you know, go for the legs. And then also how he's like, talked about like his shield, and that thing does just not obey the laws of physics.
I love it. The shield use in this movie, I think the Russo brothers still have done the best job of it.
Yeah.
There was one cool scene in the, I remember the original, I think Joe Johnston directed Captain America 1.
I believe so, yeah.
The first Avenger. There was one cool kind of shield, a couple shield moments, one to stop a door, but like in the Russo brothers movie, like Winter Soldier, he's using it during combat, and he's like throwing it, and then it's still attacking someone, and then waiting for it to come back. So yeah, it definitely does not obey the law of physics, but it's still super freaking cool.
Yeah.
Vision gets a huge kind of push in this movie again, too. And by huge, I mean how. Like, there's so many characters. How does everyone get their moment?
Yeah, I was very impressed with the amount of characters and storylines and stuff that was going on, and nothing felt like it was tossed aside. Like, yeah, we were saying that, like, the villain story aspect wasn't as exciting, but not much would be compared to everything else that's going on with fucking heroes fighting heroes. But I felt like each hero, like you said, had a moment to shine. And so no matter who your favorite Avenger character is, mm-hmm. there's going to be a moment where you're like, oh yeah, my favorite person got to do that cool thing. Yep. And that's what's going to, yeah, that you'll be stoked about that one.
The showing that we were in last night,
yeah,
blew our minds. I mean, yeah, everyone knew kind of Peter Parker, and people were kind of murmuring and be like, oh God, Spider-Man. This is Spider-Man, and then he finally shows up, and there's like a little, like slight cheering. Nobody's really cheering in our second viewing that we saw.
Yeah, when we went,
I mean, the guy other than the guy next to us was losing his goddamn mind.
Yeah, yeah. We saw this again yesterday, and I feel like a lot of people who were watching it, that was their first time seeing the movie, which means they're not comic book nerds, so they don't know all the Easter eggs or like the references and stuff like that, and build up of characters, but they've seen probably all the Marvel movies, and so they're just kind of moviegoers who enjoy the experience, but they're not nerds. They don't know they probably couldn't tell you all the alter ego names of these people. So if they say Peter Parker, most people are like, oh, I think that's Spider-Man, but if they were to say Scott Lang, they wouldn't know Scott Lang, but yeah, they would know Ant-Man.
Oh, they definitely knew Ant-Man.
Yeah, it was pretty cool to see, as Leo was saying, like, yeah, there was a row of kids, in front of us, and you know, I was like, oh, it might be annoying, but it wasn't. But they loved Ant-Man, and they knew Ant-Man just based on what he looked like without the costume. Because when Hawkeye opens the van and you see him for the first time, like passed out the thing, all those kids, oh, Ant-Man, They were so stoked for Ant-Man. They were laughing at everything he said. And then when he turned big, they lost their minds. They had no idea he could do that.
Yeah, it was so cool to see. Obviously, a giant man was a huge, huge moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm literally so glad. Yeah, and I'm so glad they did it in this movie, which is crazy to think they did it in a Captain America movie instead of an Ant-Man movie.
Yeah, I thought they would save that for Ant-Man and the Wasp, but they did it here. I feel like, you know, people at this point, it's like, we're doing everything. Like, don't hold back anything. Let's just if we have all these heroes on screen, let's see them do their awesome stuff.
Which is good, because you're going to have Captain America in the beginning of the movie season.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the year, you're going to have, which is like all characters, everything we've known. And at the end of the year, we're going to have Doctor Strange, which, not knowing anything about it, seems like it's going to be just his journey.
It's just a solo film. Yeah. Because it's an introductory solo film.
Which is pretty crazy. But even like the Black Panther movie is now going to be Black Panther, Winter Soldier.
Right. Because he's been introduced in a group setting.
Yeah.
But Ant-Man was awesome. And something I was impressed by was because Ant-Man isn't, I haven't read a lot of Ant-Man stuff, but I don't ever really think of Ant-Man as a comedic character. When I think of funny characters, I think Spider-Man and Deadpool. And to have, they've already established that this Ant-Man is very funny. His movie was very funny. Mm-hmm. But to have two different comedic relief characters on screen at the same time, I thought they did an awesome job of having their types of humor still be different from each other. And it wasn't like overshadowed. Like Spider-Man? Yes, yeah. For Spider-Man and Ant-Man. They're on screen at the same time, but none of their jokes could have just been swapped to the other. Like they had a very clearly defined sense of humor, where Ant-Man is a little more self-deprecating and kind of goofy, where Spider-Man is like more excitable and stuff, but if they would have given any of the quote unquote jokes from Spider-Man and had Ant-Man say it, it wouldn't have really fit him, and vice versa. So I thought that was really impressive to have two different comedic characters, but also they were still unique in their type of humor.
Yeah, and it's pretty crazy that we're going to get our Spider-Man movie right now. Like, we're going to get it next year. It's coming out a year from now.
Yeah.
So to see him in Civil War, which is the first time we've ever seen the correct Spider-Man, and then knowing that, like, now there's, probably already a movie. The movie's probably already written. It's probably, obviously, you can't write something that fast.
Mm.
But, like, it's, now they're starting to bang out who's, some small casting, who's going to play him. He played a fantastic Peter Parker.
Yeah.
And I am super excited actually to see the Spider-Man movie now. Like, maybe I wouldn't be before. Like, Amazing Spider-Man 2. Yeah, I went to go see it because it's a Spider-Man movie. But seeing it, I'm like, eh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wasn't super stoked for it, but I went to go see it just to see it. So Spider-Man Homecoming, is that the official title? I mean, yes, it is, because they released press stuff for it. So it's not like a placeholder title.
That's the official title. And I think like 4 days ago, Robert Downey Jr. officially signed on.
Yeah, he'll be in it.
He was never like officially going to be in it. Mm-hmm. They just wanted him in it, but now he's officially signed on.
Do you think there's any type of connection between Homecoming and the fact that Homecoming was one of the brain scramble words for Winter Soldier?
And also Homecoming was like written, somebody was reading something about like Homecoming. I think no, because I actually was listening to Keeping It Real podcast, which is IGN's movie podcast, and they asked the same question, and one of the editors there, I guess, asked the writers, like, is there a connection? They said, no, it's totally
random.
Yeah, totally
coincidental.
Random. So yeah. Spider-Man Homecoming is a series of books, but also could just be, like, actual Homecoming. Like, Homecoming is a big moment in, like, a, 10th grader's
high
life.
High schooler, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that'd be kind of weird for, like, the name of the movie to be an event that's happening for Peter Parker.
For sure, but I don't think it's that. I think it's I think it's
Spider-Man Picture Day.
The name has like three or four names. So Homecoming is in, hey, you're coming back to the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
Homecoming, like that event. Homecoming, the series. So I haven't actually read that series of books. So I'm not sure like what Homecoming has to do with it.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. I just thought it was weird because that's not a word you'd normally hear, but it was one of the brain scramble words for Winter Soldier, and they said it several times throughout the movie, and I was like, huh, that's kind of odd.
The writer said it was just a coincidence, but then at that point, you could also be throwing a red herring. That's what Marvel will do.
Marvel will say,
oh, he's not in it. Yeah.
Yep.
And then, turns around until he's officially in it. Then when the marketing starts, you see it.
Yep.
Winter Soldier was done really well again.
Going to see him more.
Yeah, where they left him was super cool. So he's now either going to be woken up or not in the Black Panther movie, but we know he's in Wakanda, and he's the one that wanted to be put back to sleep, which I thought was pretty cool. showing that he's 100% Bucky now. Mm-hmm. Well, 100% Bucky now, but don't say those.
But he has the potential. Yeah, he's like, yeah, you know, whatever Hydra put in his brain is still, it can still be triggered.
Yeah, which is super cool because you have what could eventually become in the comics. He does, spoilers, become Captain America. Mm. So if you have a Captain America that has a series of words, then he turns into a giant killer.
Yeah.
First time I saw it, I could tell about halfway through the movie that this car leaving on December 16th, 1991 were the Starks.
Yeah.
I think that was almost very clear from the beginning when he's like, and that's how they left. And then they kind of like,
yeah,
probably walked out of the house, got in the car and drove away. And that's the last time he talked to him.
Yep.
It was very clear. But the guy in our showing last night had no idea it was coming.
Yep.
And it was, so talk about that briefly. You were the one sitting right next to him.
Yeah. The guy that's sitting next to me during our second screening, yeah, he did not see that reveal coming at all, and he was, like, devastated by that. We were seeing it in 4DX, so we had some glasses on, but, yeah, he even took his off, like, put his hand in, like, his head, like, shaking his head, like, looking down at his lap, like, he was like, no. Like, he was, like the story got to him so much, which is awesome to see. The fact that he was, like, I was like, oh, that was lame. It was just, like, he was, like, yeah, he's like, no, like, I can't believe it. Like, he was just, like, so, like, into the story that really hit him.
Yeah, there was even a moment behind us, there was some lady who, during some moments, was like, eh. But during that moment, she's like, oh. Like, so even that reveal, like, just to a normal moviegoer, like you said, maybe not, like, a super comic.
Yeah, movie. I mean, the first time I saw the movie and the first time we saw that scene, I assumed it was them. I was like, oh, it's probably them, and we'll find out later. Especially because we kept coming back to it, seeing different angles. I was like, the final thing, we'll see that it is his parents. But it was still done in a cool way. It was a good story, again, and very, very opposite of Batman v Superman, which the story was like one of the worst parts of that.
Yeah, that's the thing. So we'll talk about it, obviously. I think that's what everyone is, you know.
You can't not compare these two. They have so much similar factors going on. You got heroes fighting heroes instead of just heroes fighting villains. And so you're going to want a comparable. Why are they fighting each other? Why did they stop fighting each other? And the reasons in Civil War, both of those reasons were good. And in Batman, the reason why Batman is fighting Superman is dumb, and the reason why they stop fighting is even dumber.
So I had a 30-minute diatribe on my feelings for BVS.
Yeah.
On this podcast. So I've definitely said my piece. I think comparing it just glaringly shows the difference, like a good script and a good head and a good leader like Kevin Feige can, you know. Because Kevin Feige, basically, he doesn't direct these movies, but he knows what should happen from beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah.
You know, he even said that, you know, when Marvel Universe first started, he had like 15 years planned out. And I 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
Obviously, Marvel kind of came out saying they made Civil War because of, BVS.
Did they?
Yeah. So they said that, you know, they made this movie in response to that, which is
interesting.
Which is fine. Because they made a way better movie. Also, Marvel had the opportunity to have 8 years of films before this.
I was going to say that, you know, they had all these films where we get to know these characters and know their dynamics with each other and their relationships to each other before they make them fight each other.
Yeah.
So the stakes seem higher. Like, when see these characters fight, you're like, no. Like, when you see Hawkeye and Black Widow fighting each other, that was one. I was like, no, like, what, you guys are fighting each other? You guys are such good friends. And then she even says, we're still friends, right? He's like, it depends on how hard you hit me.
Yeah.
So even like, all right, cool. Like, they even have that moment of levity, like when you see these people who we've seen fight side by side, and you know that what their connection is, to then see them fight, like, no, like, I don't. And so it would not have felt the same if say the end of Captain America, the First Avenger, he comes up in the present day and was just like freaking out. And then Iron Man Joe shows up and was like, what? You got powers? Let's fight. That would not be near as cool.
So the thing is I was saying that in a good way for DC of like, okay, so yeah, you didn't have that opportunity, but what you could have done is played the long game and said, okay, cool, let's have Superman movie. Let's start seeding in dark side. Let's start seeding in Batman. No, they realized that Batman versus Superman is a paycheck, and they went for the money over the actual quality story. And that's, I think that's the big difference between Marvel and DC. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, people are going to compare this because it's comparable, but I think Marvel had the long game and they were smart enough to be like, okay, let's do Iron Man. And then at the end, Iron Man, let's do a secret ending tag that puts in Nick Fury. It then sets up the Avengers, which in 5 years, we're going to do the Avengers. I mean, no one knows a Thor. No one knows a Captain America, but we're going to make them know.
Yeah.
And everyone knows a Batman and everyone knows a Superman. So it's like, what if they played that long game? How good is the Batman v Superman movie 5 years from now instead of the Batman v Superman one we got now?
Yeah.
So that's that. I think that's the biggest issue. And you could say, oh, yeah, but they made almost $1 billion on that movie. So, yeah, maybe let's go for the paycheck.
But they would have made that in 5 years anyway. Yeah. And if it was better, it would have made more because people would have kept seeing it.
It would have made way more because then all of a sudden, oh, my God, Batman and Superman are fighting? Yeah. Like, oh, my God, these two heroes that we know are in this universe?
Yeah, if they would have done a Man of Steel 2, and if they would have done a solo Ben Affleck Batman, just the Bat or whatever they're going to call it, the Batman, they would have done that and just kind of if the solo Wonder Woman movie would have come out first and just kind of stuff. And then, yeah, if like their first movie basically could have been like the Avengers, except the opposite, where when they're kind of coming together, they like don't trust each other. So they're fighting as opposed to, you know, they're coming together to fight alongside each other and stuff. You know, sort of like the, you know, Thor versus Hulk scenes in Avengers, which are so funny.
Yeah.
But if that was more serious, it's like, no, these guys are really fighting each other because they don't trust each other and, you know, they disagree with what each other's tactics are. But we didn't, they weren't all set up. So they're trying to set up these characters as they're fighting each other.
And it just shows you that, I mean, now, like, I don't care about your Flash. I don't care about your Aquaman because they're footage of it.
They're in a dumb universe.
Yeah. But if it was Flash and Aquaman that like we knew before and then they cut to like security footage of maybe which was actually footage of their solo films they did, that would make me care way more. But now I'm just like, we don't know who these characters are, we don't know anything about them. So yeah, I mean, let's definitely end the conversation about comparing them, because to me it's not even okay. Like, it's night and day, man. Like, it's Batman v Superman is a awful movie, again, that I've said, and Civil War, I've seen it twice. I don't see movies multiple times. I've seen this movie twice, and I'm thinking about seeing it a third time in IMAX.
Yep.
For that giant 20-minute fight scene.
Yep.
So that's my piece. Let's before we stop talking about it, let's do a little fun thing here. What was one thing that you loved, and what's one thing you would have changed about the movie?
I mean, the whole airport scene is obviously amazing.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of something that we haven't talked about yet. Let's see. I love so much. While I'm thinking, I'll let you, if you have got one on top of your head.
So one, obviously, when people leave this theater, they're going to remember that 20-minute, like, especially nerds, we're going to remember that moment of, oh my God, we just saw all the heroes fighting at the same time.
Yeah.
So that was one. Again, I think the thing that I've already kind of talked about, I don't know how you do it, and I think the one thing I would have changed, see, I would say this, but then I don't 100% agree with myself, but I think the one thing I would change is make this villain at the end, maybe not, you know, in prison, but he's caught somewhere, but like make him a little bit crazy and like, look at some purple thing or something. I don't know. Like, maybe look at a mask, or his face gets burned, so he wants to wear a mask. Like Crossbones in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Put on that costume because he looked like a train wreck underneath
it. Yeah, he looked cool, though.
But yeah, so like maybe in this movie, I mean, it's brutal, but like the movie's already pretty brutal itself. Maybe he at the end of the movie, instead of Black Panther catching him, maybe he only catches half. Like,
it deflects it or something.
It deflects it and it rips off like half his face. So he wants to put on a mask or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I would just say that's a pretty small thing to change, but just some setup for that people would know who this is from the comics.
Yeah. And they might get into that, in the Black Panther movie and stuff like that, because he is being held by the other Ross.
Yeah.
Who you told me is a Black Panther character. Who I was unfamiliar with that character. Yeah, it's interesting too, because like, as we're like the Civil War villain, you know, as a villain, as a character, there wasn't really anything like particularly unique about him. No one's going to be quoting his lines or doing impressions of that villain. But at the same time, it's like, if it's either that or versus having a ridiculous, like, what the hell is this, Lex Luthor? Like, I'm fine with what Marvel did.
For sure.
Like, even that, like, they went the total opposite route. They had this wacky, unconventional person who wasn't even a human being, didn't act like a normal person, went over the top with their villain weirdness, and then, but his method and the way he got these two people to fight was so dumb. And this, they went the kind of opposite. This guy played the long game. He was pretty smart in how he set all this stuff up. I would have liked to seen a little bit more of that. Almost, I don't know, because, like I said, he's just a regular person. So he's not, there isn't so much interesting about him where you want to see a lot of him on screen. Like, compare it to, like, The Dark Knight, where the Joker is so fascinating. You just want to see every single thing that, you know, you want him to be in every scene if that's possible. So you enjoy the scenes where you are only focusing on the villain and there aren't even any heroes on screen because the villain is so fascinating. And he played these weird games, you know, with the whole, like, having Harvey Dent and Rachel in two different locations and doing all that kind of stuff, burning money. There's a lot more scenes of the villain just doing his schemes, but they were so fascinating that you were just like, your mouth is agape because, like, yeah. Oh my God, this is awesome.
That whole scene where he just breaks the pool cue in two and
yeah, tryouts. All that stuff. And yeah. So this villain wasn't as interesting of a villain, but they also kept him more subtle than stupid Lex Luthor in Batman v Superman. But so his, like, you know, the parts where we do see what he's, you know, we see he's got some kind of bomb looking thing in his closet and stuff like that. You're not like, oh my God. As you're watching, it's like, oh, okay, this is furthering the story along. This is what is also happening while these heroes aren't paying attention because they're fighting each other. So it was more like, necessary for the story versus just like cool to watch.
Yeah.
And I would have liked something a little more interesting for those scenes that when we do cut to those, that in addition to furthering the story or giving you some idea of what's going on, they were also as somehow fun. Obviously not as fun as all the heroes fighting each other, but still as entertaining to a certain, in a different way.
He had that cool scene of drowning that original agent,
which was cool. Like, yeah. You know, that, but if there was more of that kind of stuff, so when we saw him and he was doing some things, it was more than just like, don't bring the coffee and the bacon in. I got it. That kind of stuff. You know, if there was something else about him that, yeah. Like, when you saw him on screen, like, oh, this guy's messed up.
Because,
like,
they did say he was in the Sokovian Death Squad.
Yeah, if we saw some of that, yeah. If we had saw how, you know, a little bit more of the intimidation factor. That's the only thing I would have tried to have changed in some way. You know, the only other movies, you know, all the Marvel movies, and I think Kevin Feige has, they've kind of openly said they don't care as much about the villain storylines as they do the heroes, that they'd rather put all their eggs in the hero baskets, which is why the consistent complaint is that usually the villain kind of falls by the wayside. In Thor the Dark World, I couldn't tell you a single thing that dark elf looking guy said. I could tell you what he looked like, but, you know, the motivations were just like, oh, he wants revenge, and that's kind of it. But the only Marvel movies where the villain is just like, whoa, is Loki, because he's such a fascinating character.
I was gonna say, but also they have that opportunity that he can be fantastical and he can make illusions and he can do this.
Yeah, he can do cool stuff.
Yeah, this guy cannot.
Yeah, but if we kind of saw some more of that Zemo stuff, some kind of, you know, whatever, purple outfit, whatever, maybe like dealing with his minion or if he had like people that had to answer to him, because you see like their fear, like talking to this guy, just something else to kind of convey the threat that this dude is, other than the fact that he's just smart and, you know, sent a giant EMP bomb to this place that would then down all electricity while he was in the CIA headquarters and all the, you know, it was cool story wise like, oh, that, you know, he's a good chess player and how he set these pieces up. But if we could have saw some other thing about him to make him a scary villain, to know that, like, because as of right now, he's locked up in the thing. There's nothing that I can see, like, oh man, if he gets out, like, I'm like, all right, if he gets out, what? Like, is he going to come up with another 20-year plan or whatever?
Super long scheme.
Yeah. So, like, I don't see him I don't see him as a big threat anymore. He did his plan. It still had an effect because they're not all back together. But if he got out, it's not like, oh God, this guy's on the loose. He's not an immediate, like, concern. Yeah.
Cause he didn't kill random people. Like, he was actually pretty emotional. He tried not to. I mean, obviously, yeah, he was going to have Winter Soldier go do some crazy stuff, but, like, he could have easily killed that girl who kept bringing him the coffee and the breakfast.
Yeah. He apologized, apologized to Black Panther for killing his dad, you know, cause the whole reason why he's doing this, cause his family got killed as a, you know, side effect, or, you know, as a result of Avengers fighting Ultron. Avengers didn't murder his family, but they died during their battle. And so, you know, they were, bless you, they were innocent lives that were lost. And so, but yeah, he, you know, did what he could. You know, he took innocent lives to get the Avengers to stop, but not more than he had to. So yeah, it was kind of that weird, like, fine line between villain and, you know, egomaniac kind of weird guy. But yeah, so that'd be one of the things I loved. One thing I loved was how much of this movie, how many surprises there were in this movie that weren't spoiled or ruined. Because I try not to watch TV spots and all that kind of stuff that come out before the movie's released. I don't want to see any more footage, but there was still so much in this movie that I didn't know about. I was just like, whoa, like, obviously Giant Man, that was a huge surprise. I loved when he went inside Iron Man's suit.
Yep.
It was like, who's talking? He's like, it's your conscience. We don't talk that often. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah, that kind of stuff was cool. I thought it was a cool, we saw cool uses of the different heroes' abilities and powers that we hadn't really seen before. Saw them do unique things. We saw Iron Man do a friggin' scan. They assessed Captain America's hand-to-hand combat style, and they inputted the data, and then he kind of let his suit take over to fight him, because Friday was in his head, like, you cannot beat him hand-to-hand. He's like, okay, assess his fighting technique. And they're like, okay, assessment complete. Let's kick his ass. And then the suit kind of did its thing to counteract what he was doing.
Yeah.
So that stuff like that, we've seen Iron Man so many times. Yeah, we never seen him do that.
And it's crazy, too, because, like, yeah, they did show some of that end fight, but, like, they did not show any, I mean, obviously, again, and it's Spider-Man's in it, but during the marketing, they didn't show Giant Man.
Yeah, I mean, which would be a total bummer if they had.
And then you cut to the last trailer for BVS, and they show Doomsday.
Yeah, like, what? That was, like, yeah. That, like, even the marketing was opposite of each other.
That could have been a huge reveal that Doomsday.
It should have been.
Yeah. So, like, oh, in the movie, oh my God, you're making Doomsday. And then, but now we're like, oh, okay, we know he's in it. When's he coming? Oh, he's coming in the last 5 minutes of the movie.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I think that's a big difference. But that's Civil War for us. That's Josh and I's 40-long-minute talk on Civil War. You
could easily keep going.
But let's talk about, I mean, obviously, more stuff will come up. Let's talk about how we saw it yesterday, because we keep talking about, we went to the screening again. The screening was in downtown Los Angeles at LA Live. The Regal Cinema there has one of the only, I believe, 3 or 4 theaters in the country that do this. It's called 4DX. Josh, tell us a little bit about 4DX.
So 4DX is sort of like those Universal Studio rides where you sit and you're in front of a screen, but, like, the chairs move with the movie or with the thing to kind of make you feel like you're in it. So this, for the whole movie, you know, any action scenes, like, your chairs will swivel side to side.
Almost not even action scenes, too. There are some scenes that a car was literally just making a turn.
And you would rumble.
And you would rumble and kind of go with the turn.
Yeah, your seat would kind of gently sway and kind of focus on what the action is. My favorite thing was every time there were gunshots, there were these two little holes in the back of your seat that would, like, do a little psst, of air. So for every bullet, your back of your head, air was, like, whizzing by your head. The seats would rumble with the action. They had different, like, I was like, it's like an intense massage chair. So anytime, like, things were happening, like, behind you, it was, like, kind of like punching you in the back.
And pretty intense. So, like, at one scene when Winter Soldier jumps off the balcony and lands, like, basically on his back or on his legs and rolls to his back, you feel that, like, rumble in your bottom seat first. And then when he kind of rolls over, you feel that, like, almost two punches in the back.
Yeah.
I was like, good God.
Yeah, and they do stuff with the environment. So when they throw, like, the smoke canisters, like, in the building at the beginning, there was actual smoke coming from the ceiling. There's water, so, like, little misters, like, on the back of the seat that's in front of you. So if there's rain or, like, any kind of water effect, it'll kind of pss, a little mist of water at you, which you can't, that's the only thing you can turn off on your armrest. There's a button that's water on, water off. So if you don't want to get wet, which you did not get, you don't need, like, a poncho or anything. It's just a little pss, little thing of mist just to kind of, oh my.
Yeah.
Apparently they did stuff with smells. I didn't really notice that as much because I did have sort of like a head cold, so it kind of stopped up, so I didn't really notice much scent-wise.
Yeah, so anytime there were the bullets or a lot of bullets, you would smell the bullet, like, briefly after it. Or, like, you know, during one of the scenes, Scarlet Witch has one of the coolest moments when, you know, Clint is in the clutches of Vision, and he's like, all right, you guys can't leave. And she's like, nah, we're going to leave. And then puts Vision, like, 500 feet into the ground.
Yeah.
That was a real cool moment because afterwards you could smell for like a minute or two, like rubble.
That's
like
cool.
Whatever that smell would be for rubble. And you could, like, if there's a lot of gunshots, you'd be able to smell some of those gunshots. So Yeah, 4DX, I don't remember the last time I've seen a movie, and obviously this is something that is an event. You don't go see every movie this way.
Yeah, only special stuff.
But yeah, I think it's normally $28-something or $30.
Yeah, usually pretty expensive.
Yeah, but we saw it on Tuesdays, which is half price, it was like $16 or something. Super great. I recommend it for movies that either you've seen before or you like want to see again. Again, it's not every movie. It's this, probably the big ones. But I don't remember the last time I've seen a movie that probably throughout 45 minutes to an hour of the movie, I just have this massive smile on my face.
Yeah, people, including myself, were laughing during like some fight scenes. Nothing funny was happening, but you were having fun because your seat is shaking and moving all around and stuff. Okay, and you're just like, oh my God. Like,
when we say it's shaking, you might just think it's like some slight movement. I felt at one moment, I'm going to come out of this goddamn chair. Like, I'm going to like get thrown because there's like, you know, some footprints and I was kind of like sitting cross-legged for a portion of it. And I was like, I need to put my feet on this thing or else I'm going to go flying straight ahead.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend it. It's super cool. Like, during the entire 20-minute scene, like, I looked over at Josh like, this is going to get nuts.
Yeah.
When we knew, you know, when Spider-Man was swinging in, like, you would starting on one end, like you would literally be looking at the other port. If you're looking straight ahead, they were pointing you at one side of the screen, and within a second you're thrust to looking at the other side. And that is such a cool feeling in a movie that is also pretty not, I would say, yeah, we were wearing glasses. I didn't notice much 3D.
Yeah, me neither.
There are some movies I've seen that have like a ton of awesome 3D. This didn't seem to have that, like, same kind of depth.
Yeah, but I would have had just as much fun watching this movie in 2D, but just with all the chair stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And Josh and I were sitting a little bit close, so like we were in the third or fourth row. So we didn't see a ton of the smoke effects, but yeah, when there was, you know, rubble, gunshots, things like that, not a ludicrous amount that would cover your screen. You'd be like, okay, I can't even see what the hell's happening. But it was just enough in the other corners to add that atmosphere, especially when there was like smoke in that corner. So definitely someone went through this and, you know, had to, okay, went in here, we're going to do smoke. Here's where apparently Kevin Smith saw it like this. That's kind of how I shot the idea out for us to go try it. But in his showing, it actually snowed when the very opening Siberia scenes, it snowed. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Also, I don't know how the hell they would do that for the people that say water off. But yeah, so it was pretty interesting. I would definitely recommend it, and I look forward to going to see another movie like that when it calls for it.
When it's worth it.
Because I definitely think it increased my enjoyment the second time, but also the movie is just so good that I was like, okay, yeah. I now get the story, I get where you're going, let's now just see the travel, and it was fantastic. Josh, is there anything else you want to say about 4DX?
No, I will say that, you know, I wear glasses, and so when I see a 3D movie, I wear contacts, so I have two pairs of glasses on, and it was, I did notice that I had glasses in the, and the 3D glasses on, but there were, when there was a lot of air, another thing they did, they wind, there was a lot of like the air conditioning would turn on, you know, during like chase scenes and stuff, they're on the motorcycle, you feel wind blowing on you as if you're going at like high speed and stuff. Yeah. So that kind of like dried out my eyes a little bit, but other than that, yeah, I don't know, I'm trying to decide like if I'd want, like how different the experience would be. Like, if I saw Civil War, if my first time was in 4DX, like, would I be kind of distracted from the movie? Because this is also my first time doing 4DX. I'm like, oh my God. Or if, you know, once I kind of like knew what I was in for in a 4DX thing, would I want to go see a movie that I was excited about in 4DX as my first screening? And would I be able to soak in the story and everything despite all the craziness of the chair?
I'd say yes, because, I mean, first off, you got to get over the craziness of the chair, because listen, people, I'm not giving it enough credit about the amount that it shakes. Like, and you're definitely on a rail with like the four other people next to you. So there's like some literally I looked over at Josh once and he was like just going crazy. And he was just like smiling and laughing. I'm like, yeah, I'm in this hard.
So like a movie that I'm not excited about, but I will see because I have to, I'm thinking about like, what if I just wait and till after opening weekend and just go see the new Ninja Turtle movie as my first time seeing it on Tuesday at 4DX, will that make me leave the theater not feeling as bothered? I'm sure I will be with the story of that movie, because I had such a fun time riding in the chair.
I think that's what you kind of have to do at this moment is you... That's almost the only way I'm probably going to enjoy the movie. I mean, it's after seeing these trailers, I'm just like, ugh. But, like, I'm going to see it, obviously. So why not see it on, like, a ride?
Yeah, might as well have a... Yeah, and do whatever I can to make the experience better.
I also love that you're such, like, a Turtles fan and they just have your money regardless.
Yeah,
enough that you say... I mean, I have to see it. You don't have to see it. Yeah. But like, oh, okay, I have to see this.
I got to go see him. Like, I'm just going, what have you done?
Yeah. And it's literally just them saying, thank you very much for your guaranteed money.
Yeah.
So even though this movie is awful, it's jokes on us because we're going to go see it anyway.
Yep. We're going to go pay to be mad.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, that's probably enough Civil War talk. We're going to jump into what Josh and I love, the video games.
Video games.
Josh, yesterday, Uncharted 4 came out.
It sure as hell did.
I just saw on IGN there's a deal to get a PlayStation 4, the Uncharted Collection, and Uncharted 4 for the same price as the console. It's $350.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So, when I was at Best Buy picking up, I saw that they had an actual, just an Uncharted 4 PS4. It was like gray, had the Uncharted 4 logo stuff on it, and so it was like a specific Uncharted PS4 console, which...
If it's real
bummer if you bought that and then they reveal the PlayStation 4.5.
Yeah, well, I think that's a huge issue is that they're going to have to definitely talk because, yeah, they're coming out with them still. They're still releasing, obviously. They want to sell more PS4s, but it's like there's a thing called PS4.5, which should be coming out, maybe even announced at E3, probably coming out in October with PlayStation VR.
Speaking of E3, I did get my official email today saying, telling me I was denied.
Yeah, all right. We are denied, ladies and gentlemen. they do not approve of a podcast that we do in our living room as media, as Josh and I applied. So let's talk just briefly. I mean, we don't have spoilers. There's nothing really going on. I think we'll just talk about the mechanics. Maybe, obviously, I'm going to save my huge thing for last, which is probably what everyone will see first, because my God. But let's talk briefly. Look, I saw you playing some multiplayer last night. That was super fun.
Yeah, multiplayer was a surprise for how much I was enjoying the few rounds that I did, because I'm not normally a multiplayer person in terms of, like, you know, team deathmatch, that kind of stuff. I love playing, like, co-op campaigns, but just, you know, player versus player, I've never been like, I don't really care about Call of Duty, stuff like that. And I had played the Uncharted beta, and it was all right, but I feel like there's a lot of features that were not in the beta that are in the full game, which are pretty fun. And I enjoy it so far. The one cool thing they have are called trials, where you can play and experiment with the different weapon types and specials and all that kind of stuff of the multiplayer elements, but not against real players. You do it against bots, just bots. You have AI fighting alongside you against other AI on the other team, and you can just kind of experiment and play with different grenade types, different weapon types, the different supers and all that kind of stuff. Kind of on your own time and kind of get good at multiplayer, learn the maps, all that kind of stuff before you have to go get crushed by real players. And, you know, I thought that was interesting. And then I played some real matches and was surprised at how much fun I was having. And yeah, I think like if I'm to play like a little bit, like if I only have like half an hour, an hour like to play the game, I think I'd rather just play some multiplayer matches because the story seems really cool. I don't want to just get like a little bit more into the story and then have to stop. It's like, if I don't, like, I only want to play single player if I have, like, several hours that I can commit to it.
Yeah, because that's one thing about this game is, obviously, it's coming off of The Last of Us, and seeing the storytelling they've learned from that game implemented into an Uncharted is incredible, with those little moments and making you care about a character. His first introduction, his brother, it's not spoiler, he's been on the marketing.
Yeah.
His brother is obviously in this game, but how they introduce him, how they show him, what, you know, how he shows you new mechanics in the game. Again, I only watched Josh play, but he's about six chapters. He's completed six chapters. And in this game, we were both like, don't stop. Just keep going. Like, yeah. Just keep playing. Like, and I didn't even want to play. I was just like, I just want to watch. Just keep, please. And I'm going to play this game to completion myself probably three or four times to get the platinum. Because I have the platinum in every other Uncharted. So
same.
It's pretty cool. So just seeing that... done so well in a game that previously did it already well, but on another level. It's just another wrinkle in this game's, you know, or another, you know, mark in its category of why it's a must buy. Or like you said, the multiplayer is fantastic, the storytelling. And then finally, not everyone's going to see it right off the bat. This is hands down, and I've seen a couple articles, and I'm looking forward to reading them later after this, but I've seen a couple articles about why this isn't the best-looking PS4 game, and I'm just... I can't imagine. This is like one of the best games I've ever seen, hands down. Not on just PS4. I mean, on everything. Xbox, PC, even.
Hmm.
This game, there are just sweeping moments where, yeah, it's like you can maybe go one or two ways, but you look out and you see like some vistas. Like, you can't go there. Yeah, but my God. Like, the entire game and the sunset, and there's some like the lighting in the game, the reflections. It's one of the most beautiful games. And I know graphics aren't everything, but in a game that's already so good,
yeah,
about like kind of telling you a story and kind of holding your hand at some moments, but like showing you along, it's one of the most beautiful things to look at. So hands down, congratulations. And I heard someone, instead of calling them Naughty Dog,
mm-hmm.
Naughty Gods. So that's hilarious. There's also a huge Easter egg in it that I'm now sad that I kind of saw before. Using, you know, just me looking at the YouTube culture and, you know, basically just sitting around watching videos if I'm eating or something.
Yeah.
Huge spoiler. I guess not spoiler, but an Easter egg that is in like an hour and a half in. And for anyone who grew up with PlayStation like I did, and was a PlayStation, you know, from the start, getting the first console in 95, will probably just have a massive smile on their face.
Yeah.
So that's probably all I can say about that. Josh, anything you want to say kind of just in just chatting about Uncharted 4, like what you've enjoyed so far? Because you're the one that played it.
Yeah. Game mechanics so far seem pretty similar. Nothing. They have a whole new feature now with the grappling hook rope swing, and that's getting a little more natural feeling. Other than that, so far it feels like an Uncharted. It's just so impressive how I still don't think I've seen like a true like cutscene that, you know, that's it. Like everything that you see that looks like a cinematic just naturally becomes gameplay, and there's no switch or change in what the graphics look like. It just, the whole game looks like a cutscene that you can control.
Yeah, or you would see a cutscene like the original Uncharted, and then after the cutscene, that little coin would show up rotating because it's loading, and then you would jump into it.
Yeah.
This is literally just seeing Sully and everybody, and then it rotates right behind your character and you're walking, and it's just like, what?
Yeah.
Like, how? It's those, literally, they are naughty gods over there. So if you have a PS4, and also I think one thing I can clearly tell you about this game is if you haven't played the previous ones,
get the Nathan Drake collection and play the first three.
Yeah, it's definitely in, I would have to say, a long time sink, because each one is probably 10 out. First one's probably 10 hours, 10 to 12. Second one's 10 to 12. Third one's like maybe 12 to 16.
Yeah, I would say just play it for the story initially. Don't try to platinum each one because you'll be kind of burnt out. But I would just play 1 through 3. Just play the campaign, get the story, get a feel for the characters, their relationships to each other so that they matter to you.
Yeah.
So when you're playing PlayStation, or when you're playing Uncharted 4, you'll be invested emotionally. Because that's really all you want to be, is just have enough emotions invested into this so that you care, you know, what happens to people.
Yeah. Because there are some moments like you wouldn't have no idea where Nate is at this moment. There's a moment that I saw you do that I'm just like, if you didn't play the previous ones, it's just words on a screen. So, yeah, definitely play the previous ones if you can. Obviously, it's a thing, but if you have a PS4, you probably bought it for Uncharted, so you're probably not someone who, like Jennifer Colgan's probably beaten this game already.
Yeah.
Big fan of hers.
Yeah.
Josh and I, that from Chicago, that would literally just be like, hey, when's the new Uncharted coming out? That's like almost the only game she'd play on PlayStation, but she had to have a PlayStation so she could play that game.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jennifer Colgan if you're listening. Josh, let's get into some reviews.
Okay.
Let's get into some reviews. This might be a little shorter podcast, guys. My throat is starting to really hurt.
Plus, we gotta go play some Uncharted.
Yeah, and we got to play Uncharted, but yeah, my throat is starting to really hurt. So, Josh, I'm going to throw it to you.
Okay.
Let's talk about what you want to review.
I'm going to review a movie I watched on HBO. I believe it's actually an HBO original thing. It's a mockumentary called 7 Days in Hell.
Hey, Josh.
Yeah?
Can you please do us the pleasure of reviewing 7 Days in Hell, followed by a haunting, deathly, hellish cameo?
Oh my goodness. Ridiculous, unexpected, penis.
What?
What?
Me.
That was haunting. Oh my god.
So 7 days in hell is a comedy.
Why penis? Can we please jump straight to the last one?
Yeah. A lot of different forms of penis in this movie.
What?
Yeah. You got some CGI penis. You got some real life penis. So animated penis. Which goes pretty well with the ridiculous news. So this movie is a mockumentary, so it's a comedic documentary. So kind of like a Christopher Guest movie, but not as character based in terms of like seeing their side stories and stuff. So it's Andy Samberg and Kit Harington, Jon Snow, and they are two professional tennis players. And
that's this movie?
Yeah. This came out like a year or two ago. And
I didn't know this was an HBO original like mockumentary.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like less than an hour long.
I thought this was going to be like a long. What?
No, it's like 45 minutes.
What the fuck?
Yeah, so 7 days of hell, they're like at Wimbledon or whatever, and their game goes for 7 days. And they're tied for 7 days and just keep playing. And ridiculous things happen that keep, bless you, they keep prolonging the game. The movie is very ridiculous. Lots of penises. Won't spoil how those are seen, because one of them caught me off guard. I was like, what the fuck? And unexpected, sort of like that. Also, there are a lot of different cameos or like performances by real athletes, and I was unexpected because they were all good. No one was like bad. Most of it is just kind of interview style anyway, but them talking, like they had good timing, like delivery of their lines. There's a lot of like, whether they're a real athlete or like a real like sports commentator person, they were all good. No one was like, eesh. Like sometimes you watch some like sports people like host SNL, like, oh my god, you should not be acting. But this was, like, everyone's good. And the movie's funny, it's just ridiculous. But yeah, I enjoyed it. It's very dumb movie, but also, I won't say anything, the ending, extremely unexpected.
Oh my god. But that's, I had no idea that's this movie, because I totally thought this was like going to be some theatrical horror, release.
I never saw any previews. I just saw like, you know, billboards for that movie, and you know, a couple years ago.
And it's also, you said, under an hour.
Yeah,
so it's not like much of a time sink.
No, that's why I watched it the other day. I was like, I kind of wanted something, but it was pretty late. It was like 1 something in the morning, and I was like, I wasn't like super tired yet, but I don't want to watch a whole movie. And I was just kind of looking around on the HBO Now app, and I saw that. I was like, how long is that? Like, oh, 40 minutes. Great. And so I watched that, and I was just like, what the hell?
That's
and then went to bed.
Fantastic.
It's good.
Did you dream of penises all night?
All night. But it's, every night.
Pretty normal. Yeah. Pretty normal. All right. So go watch that if you have HBO Now or somebody else's HBO Go account.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you still have your parents' password or if you and your friends go in together on HBO Go.
Yep. Just secretly ask your parents if you can get their password, and they say, what's for? You say, oh, I just want to make sure you guys are secure.
So, you know, be real secure and just give me your password.
Yeah. Well, I want to know your username, and I want to know your password, because we got to make sure it's secure. Because if your password is just like 12345, you got to make sure you change that.
Yeah.
And if they keep saying it's not, don't worry. Say, give me your password.
Give me your password, and then I will tell you if it's secure.
Give me your password, or at least your email and username, and that login, so that I can hit forgot password and change it. Thank you so much. Little trick there, kitties.
Little kitties. Leo, what are you going to review?
I told you earlier, and I think I've already kind of forgotten. No, I didn't. Okay. I'm Josh, am going to review the season so far.
Oh, right.
Of DC Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Season 1.
Okay. I'm sure this will be real positive. Oh, Leo.
Yes, Josh.
Can you please give us a 3-word review of the DC television series on the CW, Legends of Tomorrow, followed by a reincarnated meow?
Oh, thank you. 3 words come pretty easily to me.
Oh, no.
Start.
Yep.
Stall.
Mm-hmm.
Finish. Meow. Meow.
Nice.
Death.
Yeah.
Reincarnation.
Yeah.
So, Start was off to a great start. Thoroughly enjoyed probably the first 6-7 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, spoilers for DC Legends of Tomorrow, but if you're watching it, you probably stopped. Started great. Loved where the story was going. Stall, because in some point in the beginning of this season, middle of the season, they thought it would be absolutely great idea to put two characters together. One who doesn't have the best acting, and the other who is a great character. I love the Atom. But in this show, they make him do the dumbest stuff because he's in love.
Yeah, his character consistently gets dumber and dumber.
And it's just absolute. It just drags, and you know when they cut to those scenes, you're just like, well, cool, time to open a chest in Castle Royale, time to, you know, play something else, time to look away from the screen, for time to stare, you know, off in the darkness, which I would rather do than watch these scenes. And then finish, because not only did they have that as some minor plot, that has become the entire plot of the show now.
Yeah.
So now the majority of the scenes are them constantly talking in one episode, just doing the dumbest stuff. Like, cool, this immortal bad guy is locked up in your prison, and you think it's a good idea because he calls you, like, he calls you out and says you're weak. You want to open the door and start beating him up. It's like, dude, A, he's immortal. You know he's a badass with knives. What are you doing?
Yeah.
So, yeah, just start, stall, finish, man. I highly, kind of like where I was with the original episode, like S.H.I.E.L.D., season one of S.H.I.E.L.D., where it was like, meh, but then it started becoming better and better. So I'm glad I kept watching this. I don't, if that's the storyline you're going for, I'm tired of it. Like, change it up. But, you know, there's only two episodes left. So when I say finish isn't like, almost like you and Turtles, and me and Turtles, we're going to go see it. Hmm. So it's like, I've made it this far in your journey. Maybe I'm not going to watch season two. Maybe I won't. Probably won't.
Yeah.
Because you've kind of spoiled it for me, but I've made it this far in season one. So I kind of just want to see it through.
Yeah. I definitely want to finish the season. Like I said, two episodes left, but yeah, like in the past, like, you know, they try to give, you know, there's a big group of big cast, a lot of big characters. They try to give them all some kind of little side story to happen, you know, in addition to whatever the main thing they're trying to do. But for some reason, this side story, they've decided to make a main story, and I could not care less of the romantic will they, won't they of the Adam and Hawkgirl.
And I think Brandon Routh is a great actor, but some of their scenes together are laughably bad.
Yeah.
Because of what they're, you know,
the dialogue
of what they're saying from the script.
Yeah. And it's just, it's not interesting. And yeah, that's taking over that, like each episode they're giving more and more screen time to this plot line. I'm like, I do not care. You know, they're not going to end up together. Who cares? Let's just move on.
Yeah. So that's why my finish was just finish. Just stop.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, that was, Probably Sounds Awful podcast episode 31. From here, I can see Josh has a big booger in his nose. And his nose is leaking. I've been constantly rubbing mine and,
been rubbing your booger?
Yeah, I've been rubbing my bugs and, my throat hurts. So we're going to go ahead and, cut things a little short here this week. Hope you guys don't mind. Hope you watched Civil War before you listen to this. If you didn't, that's Civil War. and next week, Josh is going to be out. Josh will be out. He'll be actually, are you going on that Mars mission?
Yeah, I mean, like, I still haven't officially decided.
Cool.
Like,
1 week out, you haven't decided?
Yeah. Mars is, like, one of the other planets.
Okay, cool. So, Josh is going to be, maybe interplanetary.
Interplanetary pattern.
He could be interplanetary or out. I mean, who knows? He could be, you know, you could leave our solar system. You could be the first human to leave our solar system.
Yeah, I might.
Okay. Well, you should plan. Definitely if it's a week out. But for the Probably Sounds Awful podcast, episode 31, I'm one of your hosts, Leo Albert Kovalik Jr. Find me again on Twitter at Kovalik317, or you can go on Twitch, twitch.tv/Kovalik317, and see the one recent broadcast I have. Write me letters, send them to me, send me messages, say, hey, we want you to stream more, and I'll do it. But I'm not doing it without those.
Yeah, send a message, says, please wife.
Please wife. I do have a great, I'll read the latest. So if the last couple episodes I've talked about my cuckolding experiences.
Oh yeah.
So let me read you the one that has now possibly ended it on my front.
Been an exciting conclusion
on my front. So this was my response, his latest please wife. And then on Sunday at 8:21, I responded with, then at that time was Mother's Day.
Okay.
So, they have that thankful, like if you send a message, you can put thankful and it would, like, be covered in flowers or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So obviously I did that. We'll just throw that out there. That's kind of unrelated. I said, I am ready. Is she ready? Problem is, though, I have super sperm. I'm going to put a baby in her. So that could have possibly ended it because maybe they don't want babies. Josh, who are you?
I'm on Twitter at Patton_Josh, Twitch, twitch.tv/primordialbooze. And our forever traveling co-host, Brian, is on Twitter at _BPCK and imbck.com.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for the Probably Sounds Awful podcast, episode 31.
Bye.
Bye.
Dun, 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 dun. That's Uncharted. Is that Uncharted? That's not Uncharted, is it?
Similar.
My mouse is dead, Josh.
Oh, no. This podcast will keep going until batteries are replaced.
All right. Mouse has been repaired.
Oh, wow. That was fast.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.